کے مسافر، منزل تیری قبر ہے،
مارکس صحابہ، the voice of اہل سنہ والجماعہ.
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. Once again اہلا وسہلا ومرحبا بكم to this edition of the Coffee Express, coming to you live and exclusively from the studios of Markaz Sahaba online, Sawt Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the voice of the Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah in Durban, South Africa. Alhamdulillah, we have just completed our segment on Palestine, and we are talking about the personality of the Yahud, the attitude towards divine revelations. We will now be crossing over to Brother Ahmad Parak, who is going to talk about issues related to kafan and dafan, and of course our local politics. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Ahmad Parak.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to our Saturday morning radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, Murana. Allah has blessed us with another fine day today, Murana.
Alhamdulillah. Any latest developments related to kafan and dafan?
So there's two aspects that we just need to bring to our attention of our listeners. One is the massive issue in all the government mortuary pertaining to paupers' bodies. We have now reached a mark of 2,500 bodies, unclaimed bodies between the three mortuaries. So now this is an alarming state, because now what happens in from all the other government hospital bodies go to these mortuaries, there is no space, and they are now keeping it on the floor. Now, you know how you stack potatoes? They are stacking bodies like that. And also, it is causing a massive problem for the internal staff at the mortuary, because, you know, these bodies now, after 18 months, 16 months, some of them are here for just under 2 years, are starting to decompose. So now the fridges sometimes don't work properly, and this is an issue that they are facing, and then they are getting sick. So that is the reason where our community is saying, Ahmad Parak, why we can't get our bodies on time? The doctor only comes there and he will do his three bodies, and he's gone to his office and he's doing paperwork, and that's it. Because he's getting sick, and some of them are booking off for 2, 3 to 5 weeks. They are sick. They can't come and work in that environment like that. Now, we are taking it up with the Department of Health, Justice Department. Nothing is happening. Now, I think in the next month or so, you will see a big outcry from the community and the press that we're going to unravel this whole issue to make sure this thing comes back into service, that what is to be given to the community, it has to be sorted out once and for all, because we are suffering at the moment. We can't get the doctors to go out there because they are short staffed there, because you can't, and no doctor wants to come. There's tons of doctors are waiting to get into government hospitals, and they're looking for a job, but they don't want to go. When you tell them to go to the mortuary to go and do a post-mortem, and they're not interested. So this is that's a problem that we are faced with. And then the other issue is the government is now don't have land to bury the deceased. Now, unfortunately, we in the Muslim community, alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us. We got in KZN, we have got enough cemeteries, because we recycle every 5 years, we recycle, so we don't have a problem. But for the non-Muslim, especially the Zulus, Costas, and the Shembe, they say when you bury, you're not allowed to open that grave again, because you're disturbing their ancestors. So if you want to do that, and then you have a massive problem because you'll be running short of space all the time. And that is where the problem is. What they normally also do, Mahalana, some of them will actually come and put concrete over the grave so that nobody is able to dig that grave once he has buried his loved one.
Yeah, by any chance, are there any, you know, Muslims their bodies not claimed? Because, I mean, we do have a lot of foreigners that are here. And, you know, if foreigners' bodies, Muslim foreigners, end up in the mortuary, who really takes the responsibility of claiming it and, you know, going through the process of ghusl and janaza, etc.?
Correct. Well, there's two aspects to your question. Number one is, normally when there's a Muslim body in any one of our government mortuaries, somewhere along the line, some brother will come and, you know, say that, you know what, this brother is missing, he is in certain, in Park Rainey mortuary or Delta, I mean, the Phoenix mortuary or Pinetown mortuary, then he will start jumping so that we, you know, obviously 9 out of 10, they don't have paperwork. Then we have to tell them, okay, we will sort the postmortem out for you, but you'll have to go to the go to the embassy and go and get a paper to say that, you know what, he is a foreign national and he's from your country, and somebody from here, one of his friends, family, or somebody will do an affidavit. So that's how we normally get it out quick as possible. But there is bodies, foreign nationals in the mix of all these bodies are there at the unclaimed bodies in the mortuary. That, you know what happens in especially Malawi, now they use a Muslim name, even if you are not a Muslim, they use a Muslim name to safeguard yourself because they don't attack you or anything like that. And they come here, and what happens is they just still keep it at that Musa Ilembe or whatever his name is. So now, in actual fact, he is not a Muslim. And now when they're living together, there's 4 or 5 of them living in one room, then when he passes away, the other souls will say, because now they want a free B and they want a few free burial, we burying, although we know that, you know, these are the only ones that verified that he was a Muslim, and we said, okay, fine, we'll bury. Now what we are doing is we're first asking the alim of the nearest masjid and all where they stay and all which masjid is coming for Juma, if he's reading Salat in the morning, after Maghrib, Isha, or whatever. So then that makes it easier for us. So because a lot of time we got caught out with this year because they use a Muslim name, but in actual fact, they are not Muslim. So these are the things that we also face time to time, Allah.
And some of them also at the time of, you know, death, they use Muslim identity to save cost on the funeral because the funerals are very expensive. I know of a case where this happened.
Yes, Maulana, that's 100% because, you know, their funerals, you're looking at anything from 5,000 to 35,000 or 50,000. In some cases, you go up to over 100%. So, yes, we do get caught out in between. And, you know, now what we're doing is between our legs. We always do a verification, far as possible, even if the body stays for another day in the morgue, find out from some community members, friends, and all that, somehow or the other, that the truth will come out, and then we try and save ourselves in burying somebody when he's not a Muslim in our Muslim cemetery, Maulana.
Okay. Now, coming back to our local politics, during the week, the Mercury had an article that drastic changes have been proposed by the Itikweni municipality to manage the movement of goods and people in and out of the city to reduce congestion on roads, which is threatening to overwhelm the metro's infrastructure. The changes are detailed in the city's plan titled Comprehensive Integrated Transport Plan 2024 to 2029, which aims to promote a coordinated approach to transport and traffic management. The report was published by the city recently, and members of the public have been urged to provide comment. Of course, for members of the public to provide comment, they must have some understanding of what comprehensive integrated transport plan is about. So can you just briefly explain what is this plan about?
Well, Mawlana, there's two aspects to this. One, we are busy at the moment sorting the court area, which is the congestion that is taking through. If you're going through to the port, you're normally going through the Esplanade, and then you're going through the Bluff area, and you'll find in the morning, especially Edwin's Whale and the Maiden Wharf area is congested with trucks and all that. So we're doing another route to alleviate that issue. Then you must be heard over the years, Go Durban. Now, the Go Durban was Durban to Pinetown, Durban to Hammersdale area. Now, that has been taking us forever. And in fact, we earmarked some money recently, in about a month, 2 months ago, in a council meeting. They needed more money to finish that Go Durban. Now, they are trying to integrate all this transportation because of the congestion that what we're having, especially in the peak hours from the 6 to 9 morning and the evening, especially nowadays, even at around about 3 o'clock, if you don't come out, you caught up, you're reaching home late because of the congestion and road works have been taking place at the moment. If you're going through the airport way, there's big construction. If you're going through the N2, there's a massive construction there as well. And then right up from Barrisburg onwards, you know, all this is a 5-year plan that is placed. This is a 5-year. These roads not going to be fixed up in the next 2 years, 3 years or so. It will be done by 2029. So that's where we are at the moment. These are the issues that was brought before the council. And then we have earmarked money. The national government has put in some money as well. The province is working on it. And things are starting to look up. But, you know, the pace that things are taking place is very, very slow. And that's where the community gets very, very upset, and they're getting irritable about this issue. Now, why is it taking so long? And, then, you know, these are big projects. These are not small projects. And now, with the new GNU, now there's new bosses on the table. Some of them, the plans and everything were passed. And now with the GNU, they're saying, no, this plan is not 100%. Now you need to do some diversion to that plan and everything. So that's what, it will take time. But yes, it is happening at the moment. It is going to be sorted out. They need to do it like what happened in Dubai. From Dubai, if you go to Dubai, no trucks from 6 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock. And from 3 to 8, I think it's in the evening, you don't have, or 4 to 8 it is, you don't have no trucks on the road, only cars. And that's what they have to do here to alleviate. The problem that we are faced with is the trucks that is causing all the problem for us. So that's where we can't move quickly to our residential areas and all of that. That's where they are looking at the moment. It will come right. That I'm pretty sure of. From what I see the blueprint. I'm now sitting in a committee that is with MPAC, where we're controlling 65 billion of the city's money. We only 13 of us there. And unfortunately, with your people's dwarf, alhamdulillah, I got promoted to be there. And then I can see that things are starting to happen. But it will take, you know, everything. You have to go through the motions, especially in government, every department, and then it will come through that. So, you know, water, sanitation is taken care of. Electricity, we more or less got it about 80% up and running. For now, we will get it to 100% shortly. Things are starting to look much better because a lot of... Previously, your solar panels, you could buy one panel, they wanted 5,000. Today, the same panel, you can buy it for 2,000 because nobody wants solar panels anymore because the electricity is up and running again now. So these are the things. So there's a lot of solar system came into the country to alleviate the problem as well. But the biggest problem at the moment we face is water sanitation and our raw sewer as well as all our storm waters, which they have to sort out. And that's where they are working at the moment. They have, Angeni Water has given us 100 brand new tankers. They are already at our city at the moment. So they're assisting while they're repairing the other infrastructures at the moment.
Now, there was a time, I remember, in the past when there was, you know, suggestion that loads over and above a certain tonnage will not be allowed on roads. They must use rail transport. Are they looking at that, you know, at the moment?
Maulana, if you go through the main line, what we call Durban Peter Maritzburg, right up to Joburg, Toyota used to use those, you know, they used to use those trucks where they take 8 vehicles and all that. Most of the Toyotas now, they cut it down, they even send it by rail now. So the rail system has come back into existence. They made a big blunder with the Chinese automobile gets brought here and it's not fitting into our rail line. So they're expanding that, so that is also taking place. So I think in the next 2 to 3 years, things will start, as far as that is concerned. The rail system is running at the moment, but it's not at 100%. So it's working on a 60% at the moment, so to bring it up to speed as well. But Maulana, with all said and done, with all what is happening in government, we are sleeping with two eiderdowns. The DA, I saw a blueprint during the course of this week, and like, you know what, I was like taken aback. They are already talking Vision 2029. They knew exactly what's going to happen in the 2024 election, how they will do. This GNU we are talking about, they spoke about the GNU before one and a half, 2 years before the election. And they were already in bed with the ANC, with the Ramaphosa and everything. So we are now, they're talking 2029. You know how many years you still got? How many years? Mm-hmm. Now we're only on 24. You've got 5 years. They're already earmarking what they want to be doing in 2029. So, you know, this is where I say for our people and I say for our community, we finding solution to fix now. We're not looking at the bigger picture all the time. I keep telling our people on the ground as well. You know, we Muslims, we take Maulana Kar here, Ahmed Farah Kar here, we've got good people in our community. We got, you know, when it comes to giving money, alhamdulillah, we must, you know, you can't shy away there. Our people, if they can see you're doing the right work, if it's for the masjid, madrasa, if it's for the right NGO, right NPO, right schools and all, they will give, they give money is not a criteria. They give. But when it comes to actually getting involved and seeing for our community, then we say, you know what, we should have did this, we should have had our people in council. We need our people in council that who can see for ourselves. Because if not, we're not going to do it. Maulana, nobody's going to do it. 2024, if anybody didn't take heed of this 2024 election, they didn't wake up and saw what the writing was on the wall. It is reverse apartheid. What happened was, the DA took all the white voters. The MK sprung up there and took all the black voters with the ANC partly. And then you saw that PA came in, McKenzie came. He took all the colored voters. And then you had one independent, Caro Charo. You saw he had 14,000, almost 14,000 votes. But he couldn't make it because he needed at least 21,000 to get one seat. So he could. You can see that alone tells us what is happening in the country. Now we need to wake up and say, you know what? What can we do to protect our institution, all our madrasas, masjid, where they're giving land, what is happening? We need our people to see. They're taking, you know, when I kept telling them, in the art and culture, we got money. I spoke to Jamaatul Ulama. I speak to everybody. Come do the application. By our chair, nobody comes. You know who gets it? All the other organization is getting, the churches organization, they're getting. You mean to say, well, Rabbi will Awal now. What is more better legacy than our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You can have do something for spread Islam. Take that money and use it in the townships and all, and promote deen in all these rural areas and all that. Money is there, but they don't come. Mulana, what can I say? You know, I told them now, this, our radio station about 2 months ago, use the indigenous program we got, the electricity, light, water, land, where they're giving concession. Nobody. I fought again. We managed to get it in the 29th of August. The agreement extended to right to December. People need to come. Not a lot of people are coming to my offices, but I'm getting it done for them. Well, I don't take one cent for anything. I'm doing it as a community, and I'm a community serviceman. I'm doing it. Come, we can get it. Now, even if you got a land, that land is barren and you're not doing anything, and that land has become demos. Now, demos, you're not allowed to bury, but why shouldn't you be paying rates for it? Come to us, we do an application. Why pay rates? Because they're allowing you not to build it. So why you want to keep paying rates? Get it off your back, keep the land still, but it's your land, but you don't have to pay rates. You pay for something, but you can't build it. So it doesn't make sense for us.
Yeah. Now, something else that I've read about this whole plan to reduce traffic on roads, it seems like they want to take us back to the old days. You know, when I was a young boy, still in school, there was only one departmental store, and that was OK Bazaar. And of course, that time you had Tony Factor, what that shop called Downtown and Games. There was just that. And they weren't so much. OK Bazaar was into food, but not Tony Factor and Games. Now we've got a whole lot of departmental stores where you could buy your food, your clothing and everything. I mean, Pick and Pay is also selling clothing. Now, in that article about this reducing traffic, it was said we are looking at initiatives to bring service closer to the people. The emergence of shopping malls has had a negative impact on local economies, where convenience shops that serve the needs of selling those small but essential food items went out of business. Now, this is what we had when we were small. A couple doors away from your house was a little general dealer who sold all the small items. And the article goes on to say, people are now having to travel longer distance just to get small items that should be purchased at the convenience stores. Bringing such services back is part of addressing the congestion. Now, if they do this, would the big departmental stores, allow this, agree to it, considering that they have made enormous investments for their setups?
Monana, if you see it in the last 6 months, big malls, you see state agents want to let the full mall out. What is the reason? There's no more tenants. The reason is, if you've seen in the last year, how many motorbikes you see on the road nowadays, Monana? You see plenty of motorbikes from every sector. You got the 60 minutes, you got the 30 minutes, you've seen free. Some of the departmental stores are giving free. And the biggest thing that is happening, and we need to take heed of, is the online shopping. The online shopping has taken it by storm. I don't remember when I went to the supermarket to go and buy anything, because my daughter-in-law's and the wife normally get it on online. The guy comes here, he go by the security, he says you got a delivery for apartment 8, they will deliver colors. So who wants to go to the supermarket anymore? And furthermore, by this online, you are controlling your buying. Previously, when you go with your grandchildren or you go with the wife, what you don't want to, you put it in the trolley and you come. So today, you're controlling that as well. Even in the clothing sector, everything is going online. In America and overseas at the moment, you'll find massive shopping centers are becoming redundant and they're changing that into office blocks now. It's going to happen here as well. So the times are changing. Everything is coming with the youth phone gadgets and everything you're getting on today with the social media, you get everything online. So that's where our problem is. And you want to have a business. Yes, convenience store, you'll find in all the rural areas, in the townships and all that. Manana, you won't believe it. I'm busy sitting on a project because of the city. The informal settlement, what we call the jandal, or we call the informal, there's almost 600 informal settlements in the city alone. What do you think the value of the tuck shops and the spaza shops there?
Yeah, it's running into billions, must be.
Billion. That's how big that industry is. You know what they're doing now? You know what's going to happen? And I'm talking to all our cash and carry, you know, all our big Oslanga cash and carry, Phoenix cash and carry. They all need to take heed of what I'm saying. These guys are so well advanced, net bank. You see, this Jewish community, they work, you know, as I said, 2029 vision, they're working like that. They want to capture this whole informal settlement business. They're looking to do about 60 to 80,000 square meters, one building. And they want to give them loans to do informal settlement, informal trading in the informal areas. And this is a massive cash business. They go EFT and all, they come with the cash. And that's where they're going to go. And we need to capture that market as well, because we've got top, big cash and carry. We need to put a team together and say, you know what, we'll be able to carry this as well. And they will come to you. You know one thing I learned from him? You know the late Yusuf Jadwood from Pick and Win in Spingo? I don't know if you know him.
Yeah, I used to go to Pick and Win. When I was with Islamic Relief, he used to give us a lot of donations.
Right. When my brother had a watch shop upstairs, so I used to go and see my brother. So Pick and Win, so he was a very good friend with his brother Sadek and all, you know. I used to greet him and he used to say, hey, come. He'll give you one sweet. You know, those workers from Toyota, 15,000 workers are there. Most of them used to shop there. Up till today, they're shopping there by Pick and Win. You know what he used to do? Now, the wife will bring the children and wait outside Pick and Win. When the husband come out with a pay packet, they will go and do their shopping there. And what he gives the children, he'll give them chocolate, sweets, lollipop, whatever it is. Every child used to get. His brother Sadek used to say, you know what, you're costing us money, you're giving away sweets. He said, no, Kaini, don't worry. You know, up till today, Polana, that child grew up, he's working at Toyota. He said, no, my father was shopping here. That uncle used to give us sweet. He's shopping there today. Look at that. See, these are the things that we need to take heed of now. There is business at the moment. And this informal trading is happening there in all these jandals and all that. We need to capture. Before, these guys are putting up this big, massive thing, and they want to capture this whole industry, and this is where it's going to be. And it's going to hurt our supermarkets and all that, because these guys, they're going to give them loan as well, a soft loan. Whether you blacklisted, not blacklisted, they want that business. And see how many steps ahead they are in the game in this thing here. This is what I keep saying to our people. We need to wake up. You must read in between the lines what is happening in the market. We say, no, Kaini. Rosy rizq come from Allah. There's no two ways about it. What's written for you, you will get. But Allah also say, tie your camel. You can see what is happening. You need to capture. Rosy will come to you if you can look for Rosy as well. You know, you can't sit back and say, Ya Allah, give me Rosy. You know, you have to make manak too. You have to go out there and do it for Allah.
Another suggestion is about these carpools. Now, this has been going on for years. I remember a long time ago they spoke about this, that if they find one person in a car driving, they would charge him. You know, this is to reduce the number of cars, that if a few people in an area, you know, work in a certain area, they should rather use one car, three, four people in one car, instead of moving with three, four cars on the road. You think this is going to work?
Molana, yeah, in KZN, we don't, it's not like like Gauteng and Cape Town and all that issue. We at the moment, we got a breathing space from what we worked out from the transportation department with the city and province and all that. For the next 10 years, we're okay. That's why you can see they're widening the roads, they're doing the roads and all that. But yet, you need to, you know, to cut costs. And because of the fuel prices, a lot of them are being lifted up at the moment. And that's where Uber is making, you know, has come into the marketplace where the taxi industry is making a big noise because of Uber. They think you take Uber picks you up from A place and drop you in that way you want to go to. And taxi don't do that. So that is the problem. So taxi association is making a noise. And then we are still saying, you need to regularize the taxi industry. They pay no tax. They pay no nothing. They're keeping them because of only one reason. They're not jumping at them because of the fuel levy. They are the biggest consumption of fuel. And because of that, because of the government is making money on fuel levy, that's why they're leaving them. They don't want to regularize them. They're supposed to be form a company, and they should have been running because, they're making money. Every day they get cash money, but they're not. There's no taxation, no nothing. And this is where we are saying it must be. You know, the playing fields must be level because you're paying tax. You got a small shop, you're paying VAT, you're paying your income tax, and also these people should be taken care of that as well.
Now, just the last question. There's no problem if you take a bit extra time. Now, there was a comment also. That, this is a whole different issue. Political parties and government governance experts have supported comments by Durban Chamber of Commerce and Industry CEO Palesa Fili that the lack of visible change in Itikweni municipality is because officials are failing to perform their duties. Now, you being a person that's physically, practically involved, you know, what's your comment on what the CEO of Durban Chamber of Commerce and Industry has to say?
Well, no, that what she raised is 100%. I know personally, I work with her very closely. And this, we've been talking about it and we spoke about it on this radio station as well. Well, no, you build a house, you put a proper foundation. You make sure you put in the proper steel and all that. So even if you get heavy rains and all that, the foundation mustn't crack. It mustn't. You make sure the foundation is 100% before you put your brickwork. It's the same thing in council. Council, we got some very old people there. They've got experience, yes, but they are. You know what? They're not giving us 100%. They're giving us 50%. Half the day they're sleeping, and this is where our problem is. You need to fix the city and fix the Itikweni municipality. You have to start cleaning from one side. And that's where we are saying some of these people are there because, you know what, in the ANC, they job for pair, and they brought in people there who don't have the experience, are there, and then because of there's two camps in the municipality. You got the RM, the Ramaphosa camp there, and you got the Zuma camp still there. So that's where the two camps are, and that's where the differences are, and that's where we are having a problem in council. People are incompetent. They got SGs there, we got people there. They're not delivering according to what they're supposed to have been delivering. And that's where we're falling short. And that department need to, that's where they got the Section 154, and that's where this thing is being, Otelezi and Mike Sutcliffe is looking into that and they're starting to clean that up. The report is out, but we haven't received that report yet. So I want to share that report with the community and our radio station, what actually came out from Mike Sutcliffe and Buthelezi's report in terms of the city. And as far as the city is concerned, well, alhamdulillah, we must make the shukr that it's not in the international sakrat or anything. This city has got enough money. We got 8 billion in investment, so we have got money there. We have collected in terms of the debt review program, only one day on the 31st of March, 31st of August, we collected 3.6 billion rand in one day alone. So, you know, money is there, but at the same token, we have got something like, on the outside, we've got like something like about 35 billion is outstanding with rates, water, light, and everything that has to come into the city. So the city is healthy, but at the same token, we're giving, and I have picked something up we got a massive institution in Mslanga. They have put up massive shopping center, they put up a massive hotel there, but how can they get 32 million rand debt review program they got? And that was funded by public money, and it is already listed, I think, if I'm not sure, if it's listed or even if it's not listed. It's a massive project. Why should they get, when so many thousands of people in the city are suffering and can't get the debt review and cannot get the house in order, but we're giving 32 million, we gave them over 3 years interest-free to pay. No, that was not right. So I'm taking that up very, very seriously. I want to see what's the outcome of that matter there, because we're saying that project there, it was funded by international, and they have got money, and they put up a massive shopping center and hotel and everything there. Why we should have been giving them 32 million rand to pay it over terms? We're not a charitable organization. So that matter I'm taking it up at the moment.
This seems to be like a kind of mafia operation within government, because one of the statements that is made by Professor Zwelin Zima Ndevo, director of the School of Public Leadership at Stellenbosch University, said it was crucial to have a city that was functional to develop, sustain, and attract investors and businesses. The city has unfortunately been declining for some time now, with clear talk of a poorly maintained infrastructure, poor monitoring, and service delivery. Then he makes a statement: someone needed to talk the truth to power without any fear of being victimized by the influential politicians. Now, that part of that statement, fear of being victimized by influential politicians, does that really happen there?
Well, you know, in government here, yeah, especially today, you saw in the last 1 year, 6 councillors were shot. So these things happen once you start exposing. In cases, at the moment we got something like 19 cases before the CIIU that people that we found in the top management position defrauded the city. So all these matters are all before the CIIU, and it will come before full council, and these people will start getting fired. And they're starting to clean. But the thing is the process is taking too long. That is, that's where we can't get our service delivery. That professor is 100% right. South Africa, Durban, was the third best city in the world if you take 15 years ago. Today, where we are. We're not in the 49 or 50 city in the world. That's how bad it has come. And the city has got everything. Also, we must take into account. You see, once we opened from 1994, a lot of people were living in rural area. They came into the city now as well, Molana. And now when you come into the city, now, if the city can only accommodate 28 million, we got in the region of 35 million at the moment. So it's a problem, because the infrastructure, everything takes its toll as well. So that's where our problem is at the moment, and that's where we're trying to identify areas, finding ways, and you'll see in the last week all the abandoned buildings and all that. We went full out there. We started from Point Road, we into Sydney Road, Ambilo area, for unregistered foreign nationals. We deporting them. things are starting to happen now. They want, and you see the mandate that the Commissioner of Police has been given, the Commissioner Konazi has been given. You see, previously, if a thief opened fire, one of the policemen, they couldn't do anything. Now they're saying, you open fire, we kill you. Finish. And how many got killed? Last one, 54 people were shot. Dead. That's how it's happening at the moment.
Okay, Jazakumullah for your time, the extra time that we had this morning. And inshallah, we will talk next week again. And until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah, during the course of the day, you will also get a podcast of this.
Jazakallah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.